What's love got to do with it? The question Tina Turner was asking there way back a few years ago. I don't know how anyone can remember when that was, but 10 years ago. And this morning, in the first of our series on the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to propose an answer. And the answer, you know, certainly if we're talking, if the it in the song was Christianity, our faith, the answer would be everything. Love has everything to do with it, or at least it should have, because in Christian terms, love has to be central to everything we think, say, and do. And so, first, a very brief word about the idea of the fruit of the Spirit. We're embarking on this new series, did have introduction last week, but, you know, just to briefly recap for us as Christians, at the time we accepted Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord, at that time the Holy Spirit came to live in us, just as Jesus promised that it would. And from that time onwards, the Holy Spirit has had an influence on our lives. He's been refining our character with the intention of making us more and more like Jesus, so that we're able to enjoy the fullness of life Jesus came to bring, and so that we can reveal Jesus to other people, be as Andrew said, fishers of men and women. We call this process of refining our character sanctification, big word, but means just becoming more holy. Or, you know, the Bible gives us this lovely, much nicer picture of what's going on by describing the results of that process as the fruit of the Spirit, the natural result of having Jesus in our lives. There's a description of the fruit of the Spirit on the back of our current newsletter, for which we thank George. It's no accident that this description starts with love, because love is central to the Christian faith. This is my command, says Jesus, love each other. The only thing that counts, says Paul, is faith expressing itself through love. Above all, love each other deeply, says Peter. Love is the defining characteristic of the true follower of Jesus. John's first letter says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And John goes further than that. He says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Going to see a very brief video clip, a couple of minutes now, if we can get it up, of someone who did not have love, did not know what love was, actually. They really didn't. Put that back a bit, if we can get it. From the clip, from the film about a boy. And this one off as well. You've got to mean something to help people. So I didn't mean anything. And that I knew was going to guarantee me a stress-free life. Well, the film unfolds rather differently for those of you who remember it. But love is, it's a rather nebulous thing. It's hard to define, hard to pin down love. So what are we talking about when we talk about this, the love of God, which is described as the first of fruit of the Holy Spirit? What does the love of God, which the Holy Spirit produced, look like? There's a very handy list, of course, of attributes of the Holy Spirit, of the real love of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 13. It's often read at weddings. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That's a wonderful description of the fullness of love. the love produced by the Holy Spirit. I want to just give you a minute or so to think. You know, have you encountered that love this week from another person? I wonder if someone displayed to you in just something they did, something they were, the way they were around you, that kind of perfect love. Does something come to your mind? Give you the think about that for 1 minute. Have you encountered real love this week? The love which always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And maybe some of us can put our finger on something. Maybe most of us could not remember one incident this week, one example, but maybe somebody, maybe one or two of us could remember, because we do encounter that kind of love from time to time. But another way to know what this love looks like in action, apart from having a list of things, you know, description, is of course to look at Jesus himself, because we remember that the Holy Spirit's aim in all this is to make us like Jesus. There are so many stories about Jesus' love in the Bible. In fact, all the stories of Jesus are about his love, because love is what motivated him. It's why he came, why he lived as he did, and why he died. But this morning, let's just have a look very briefly at the story of the little man called Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was, of course, a tax collector in the town of Jericho. And because Zacchaeus is a tax collector, he is roundly disliked by everyone, because tax collectors worked for the Roman army and nobody liked the Roman army, and because they generally defrauded the people in order to line their own pockets at that time. Nobody likes a person who abuses a position of power for their own needs. You know, look at the recent MPs scandal and the way the public turned on those MPs who were found to have done wrong, to have abused their position of power. And Jesus comes through Jericho, and Zacchaeus wants to see him, but he can't, because there's a crowd gathered to see this up-and-coming, well-known teacher. And Zacchaeus is a short man. He's at the back of the crowd. So he climbs a tree, and he crouches there in the branches, probably hoping that no one will notice him. But Jesus does notice him, and to Zacchaeus's huge surprise, Jesus calls him down. And here's where Zacchaeus and reading the story, we meet the love of Jesus, which is patient and kind, and which protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. Jesus reaches out to this hated man and says, I want to come to your house today. And off they go to Zacchaeus's house. And we don't have a record in the Bible of everything that happened in that house, in that culture. There would almost certainly have been a shared meal. But we do know for sure that Zacchaeus is profoundly touched by the love of Jesus towards him, the love that is patient and kind, protecting, trusting, hoping, and persevering, because his life is profoundly changed. He stands up and says, look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Zacchaeus has had a complete change of heart. And many of us here know the transforming power of the love of God. We've been touched by God's love and we've been changed for the better. But there's more to the Christian life than knowing the love of God for us. That's the start. And we do so desperately, urgently need to keep that in view. Keep it firmly fixed in our minds. Remind ourselves daily that Jesus Christ loved us so much and died to demonstrate that love and give us the way to experience that love forever. But the second aspect of love, which is woven into the fabric of Christian life, is that we are called to share God's love with others. I wonder who you identified with in the story of Zacchaeus. I guess most of us identified with Zacchaeus, you know, the man in need of an encounter with the love of God. But if you're a Christian, there's another person you can identify with in the story, and that person is Jesus himself. The call to Christians is to carry the love of God in us and offer it to other people who need it, just like Jesus did. But love is a funny thing. You know, you can't manufacture it. There are things that look like love, but which aren't the genuine article, which we can manufacture. But we can't manufacture real love. You know, think about how you would go about producing love for God or for another person. You really wouldn't know where to start, I don't think, if you had to somehow manufacture love. And that's because you can't do it. The only reason we can love God and love other people is because God gives us that love as a gift. And so we don't have to try very hard to work up a love for other people. All we need to do is cooperate with God's Holy Spirit, and we find it happening. Paul says in Romans 5, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And what do people who have hearts full of God's love do? They leak. They leak the love of God to other people. So this morning, this is our take-home message. God wants us to be leaky buckets, leaky vessels. God's Spirit in us wants to refine the love he's put in us, to make it purer and stronger until it resembles the love of Jesus himself, the love that can reach out to a hurting world and make a powerful difference. I thank God, you know, for the ability to love other people. I love to love. But every now and again, I get a powerful reminder of how poor my love is compared with Jesus' love. You know, I'm going to tell you a little story this week. I don't want to bring up my other work too often, but I had a beautiful illustration this week at my other work in the homeless centre. And I'll tell you about a person. I'm going to call him Danny. He's not his real name. You know, the way things are going, we might see homeless people here before very long, you know, if the Holy Spirit keeps moving. So I'm praying you might meet him one day. Let's call him Danny. And Danny came into the centre last week, and you know, he's a nice enough chap, quite funny and nice to be around. On a bad day, he's a self-obsessed whiner. And this week we had a bad day. And all he did from the start of the morning, when he came in the morning, was complain and whine and whinge. And, he has some difficulties or something wrong with the place he's living in. People don't live in nice places like I live in. He was living in a flat, and there was a particular problem with that accommodation that was a genuine problem. And I helped him to make some phone calls to his landlord, to the housing association, and they must be exasperated with him as well, because they put the phone down on him twice. Finally, he got from them an undertaking that they would send someone round, and all he had to do was stay in until the workman came to fix his problem. Then he starts whining again, you know. I don't see why I have to stay in all day. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. We finally persuade him to go home and stay in his flat until the people arrive. 2 hours later, he comes back. He's obviously not been home. He's been to the pub. He's very, very drunk. He is offensive. He is a nuisance. He keeps touching people. And I am tasked with sitting with him and keeping him occupied, so he doesn't cause too much havoc and annoyance around the building. And I just felt him, such an annoyance with him. And suddenly I realised I haven't got it in me to even like you. Right, I know liking and loving isn't the same, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't. It shocked me that I'd run to the end of my love for Danny, and I was convicted, you know, by God in that moment, you know, say, actually, how would Jesus look at Danny? He wouldn't have stopped loving him because he was being a pain. And just at that moment, Danny helped the process along by bursting into tears. So I felt great. But, you know, it's caused me to resolve to seek God for more love. You know, or to put it more precisely, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit more, to produce more and better love in my life. Because in the end, real love is amazing. You know, kind actions driven by guilt or driven by fear or driven by the desire to control can do some good, but they're not, in the end, amazing. But things done out of real love are truly amazing and can have amazing results. And in this church, we've resolved to seek more of the Holy Spirit. We believe God wants to use this church to heal damaged bodies, minds and spirits. And my conviction is that as God moves in that way, we're going to, you know, a lot is going to depend on the quality of our love. We're going to need faith. Of course, it's faith that moves mountains, but love, the Bible says, covers a multitude of sins. Love protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres. You know, we've been shocked this week by those terrible events in Cumbria. And funny, my Bible notes this morning were, I just opened, I couldn't believe what it said. I can't remember what it said, but it said something like, think back at the past week. Has it seemed to you that evil has had the upper hand? And, you know, they've prepared months ago, of course, you know, but so appropriate for today. Shocking events in Cumbria. I've been, keep thinking a thought, you know, which is almost too terrible to dwell on. You know, my thought is, might things have been different if that man had encountered the love of Jesus Christ operating powerfully in one of his followers? Is a terrible thought, really. But Jesus never condemns our failures. In fact, what should give us all hope is knowing that Jesus' love for us is the same love which is outlined for us to model in 1 Corinthians 13. Jesus' love for you is patient. It is kind. It protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres. You and I caused Jesus' death, and still he goes on loving us and believing in us, trusting, hoping, persevering. And this morning, the invitation to us all is, you know, despite your weaknesses, despite your failures, receive the love of Jesus which he has for you, because he wants you to receive it. And then, secondary call, go out and leak that love to other people. Amen. I think we have got time for another little clip, actually. I'll just, this is a clip. I don't think we've seen this one before, but we have gone into this video on occasion. And it's a lovely thing. I love this video, the Tough Talk video. I like it because, you know, these men who do their bodybuilding demonstrations around the country, you know, there really isn't anything in it for them. Their stories are so verifiable. You know, people know them well. They know their backgrounds. And there is no money in being a travelling evangelist in Britain. These guys are motivated, I'm sure, just by what they say they're motivated by. So let's hear a part of one of their stories. We're going to sing a hymn in a moment, and it's one of the great hymns about love. Came out of the early time of the Methodists, time of the early Methodists, when John Wesley used to call this business of being refined by the Spirit, he used to call it perfect love. It was his teaching. And you know, as we sing, if you've not encountered the love of Jesus Christ, if you don't know that love, open your heart to him this morning and receive. This is his invitation. Come to me. And his promise is that all who come to him, he said, I will never turn away. So let's sing, and we use this as a wonderful celebration of the love of God. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Amen.
Should we stand?